So I'm working on an intro. We don't know when I'm gonna have this intro. I could probably do it myself, but for now, the intro is me just being boring as shit and saying that there's no intro.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah.
I like the logo a lot.
Do you? Do you? It was created by someone who is really talented in what they do.
Yeah, I'm not an illustrator. I'm a graphic designer. Like, I can take other people's artwork and manipulate it and make it, what a client wants. But I don't do too much illustration.
Oh, that's all right. I was looking at your graphics design and stuff.
Oh, thanks.
I'm not a problem. It looks interesting and seems like a lot of people really like what you do.
Well, I've put a couple of brands on the map down here in South Jersey, I guess. I wouldn't can't say that they're legit businesses, but the cannabis, the crowd likes them.
Right.
Have
What
you seen
kind
our pictures of the events and stuff?
of Right. Yeah. What kind of businesses?
They're the gray market businesses.
Gray market. I love that term, gray market. I've actually never heard that term before.
We like to refer to it as the freedom market.
The freedom market. I love it. So, how did
So,
you get into graphics
we
design?
started out talking, online, and we started a group that was New Jersey Cannabis Better Days to Come.
Okay.
Then we had 3,000 members, and we got legal, so it was Better Days Are Here. And then Facebook shut us down. So then we just kept coming back stronger than ever. We had between the three different groups, there's probably 10,000 members.
Wow.
Some repeats, some people are in all three groups, but
Right.
still 10,000 people in New Jersey who are interested in discussing cannabis and where they can get it and the strains and doing reviews and talking about the legal aspects. We share all the legal articles, and we encourage people to sign petitions and get involved for their own, be proactive in their own, whether it's their own health care or whether it was DIFAS coming after you because you smoked weed or you got arrested. We're
Wow.
trying to teach everybody to be proactive
Right.
because that's what will save you in the long run if you're having issues.
Wow. Well, I mean, I was arrested. I was arrested at 17 for a piece of weed. I'd say about half the size of my pinky toenail.
Right.
And I.
When New Jersey was undergoing reefer madness.
Yes.
Yeah, I
This
got
was.
arrested for a roach.
Yes. Yes. Similar. Similar. I mean, there was roaches in the car too, so that was added on top, as if it was crack rocks and meth crystals and.
Right. Mean, it seemed that the cops were like genuinely interested in like this is what would happen. I'm having neighbor issues now, and before I would always be worried about like the calling the cop on my neighbor because they would smell weed, and then that would turn flip it because and it would flip it right onto well, where's the weed
Right.
instead of going taking care of the unruly neighbor. Now I'm not worried about that. This guy has his music loud. If I'm sitting on my front porch smoking a joint, I will pick up the phone and call, and they are going to address the actual situation.
Right. Right. Yeah, I
Like,
mean,
really, if I had called, that would have turned into me being arrested because they
no.
smelled weed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I grew up in a rough household growing up. So the cops were at my house a couple of times. And so as I grew a little older and I was smoking weed, like the cops would just randomly show up. And they'd be like, "Don't worry, we're not here for you." I'm like, "I'm just gonna walk this way with my fat ass blunt that you don't see." And they wouldn't, because it was, I guess they would think, they would prioritize domestic violence over some 16-year-old or 17-year-old with weed. But that was a local cop, so I guess they didn't really care as much. But I was arrested by state troopers.
Right. How
Yeah.
old are you?
I'm 30. I was born in 91.
Okay. So I'm 55. So I've really been down the road with cannabis. My ex-husband would use it as like a tool of fear almost. He actually had me arrested for weed. He
Wow.
had the police come to our home and take me out in handcuffs for a bowl. Now I took the charge for the bowl because there was an ounce of weed in a drawer not 8 feet away, and I didn't want them to look for that.
Right.
And I figured I could fight the bowl charge a little easier, so I just took the marijuana, like it was a paraphernalia charge, 2-C34, as
Yeah.
a matter of fact. But
Jeez.
and that did get dismissed. But I mean, I like I said, I didn't press the issue because I didn't want them to search and find my bud. And that would
Right.
have been a harder charge to beat.
No, yeah, the prohibition was definitely something we're all very happy to be out of. Even though it's such an awkward, it's like we backed into it. We didn't go into this head first. We backed into this. I mean, the state really is what I'm talking about.
Well, I think the state confused the voters with the language on what we were voting on. I think that they didn't put in enough information for people. I think that had they put in more information, we might have still voted no, but a decrim would have come along eventually. But what we did was we handed New Jersey the power to make the money. And that's the reason they wanted to legalize weed, was for them to make the money. It had nothing to do with, bringing in the vendors or the legacy dealers. They don't care about those people. They cared about those MSOs and the millions of dollars that that would bring to New
Right,
Jersey.
absolutely. Yeah, and they
And I
try.
work for an MSO, so I know. I do. We just opened our 19th dispensary in Pennsylvania,
Yeah,
so I know all about it.
I work for a corporation as well. That's ob it's not connected to cannabis, but when you work for a corporation, you can just see the strings that are attached. You can see it in the
Yes,
policies. You can
I
s
was so excited to get involved with legal cannabis and to take a job at a dispensary. And I'm still glad that I'm there. I make very good money. I mean, for part-time money, I make close to $20 an hour. I don't know why any bud tenders would be bitching in this industry now that they allow tips, because I make $16.45 an hour, which I started at 15. I've been there almost 2 years. I've gotten some regular raises, bringing me to $16.45. And then when you add the tips in, like last paycheck's tips were roughly $3.60 an hour. So that tipped me up almost to 20, over $20 an hour.
Wow.
And they're unionizing, which I'm real happy for. I think that's an industry that definitely needs unionizing, because I think that the corporations will take advantage of their employees.
Sounds about right. And this dispensary is not in Jersey, right? From
No, I
my
work in Pennsylvania. I
Pennsylvania.
work for Beyond Hello, which is owned by Jushi Co. And Jushi Co. also is like they own other process. They own a processing plant. They own like the lab is their brand for carts. Nira is their brand for tinctures and topicals. So they umbrella several companies.
Wow.
Can you do that maybe?
And how did you get involved with that?
I started out, believe it or not, as security. So I always laugh and say, like, they let the fox in the hen house, because it was just my foot in the door. I had a friend there that was working security, and we eventually both became bud tenders. She actually went back to Amazon because the money wasn't as great, and she's a single mom raising her kids, so she had to go for the max, what she could bring home, and that definitely wasn't juicy. But I'm still there. October will mark my 2 year anniversary, and I like them because it's part time. If I was there full time, I would probably be really bogged down by the standard operating procedures and things that change on a constant basis. I'm not allowed to procure any product as an employee there, which kind of bugs me because I do hold a medical card, but because I'm in New Jersey and they're Pennsylvania, they don't allow me to make any purchases at a 25% discount. But other
Jeez.
employees that live in Pennsylvania do get that discount. So, there's that. So I am waiting. I'm like trying to glean all the information I can because I'm working with an applicant in New Jersey, in my hometown in Clemson, actually, and she's the only black and woman-owned business to secure that license for a small medical dispensary in Clemson, New Jersey, called Holistic Solutions. And because a principal on your board has to be, I guess, for the micro license, has to be from that town. So they've asked me to help with that, and I will take a principal role. I will get an equity share, and I will be a supervisory role, such as training or developing operating procedures type role. And so it's happening.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's really going to happen. And I'm super excited for my applicant. I'm excited for my hometown. And I'm excited for me.
Your hometown, meaning that's where you grew up too?
No, I grew up in Merchantville, New Jersey, which is really about 5 miles outside of Philadelphia. It's right at the foot of the Ben Franklin Bridge. But I'm in Clemenson, New Jersey. So I'm in the heart of Camden County.
Wow. So Jersey born and bred then.
We are holding our breath. Right now, we're trying to secure property, and that seems to be the biggest hurdle.
Yeah, all in Jersey, I'm sure.
Yes, it's hard to find property. It's hard to find property that's reasonable and that's in good shape, and that will, I'm suggesting to anybody who's going out for a micro license, find an old bank to put your dispensary in, or your retail dispensary, because that's what I work in, as a retail dispensary. So we have 37 grower processors in Pennsylvania, and we sell all of their products. Just like now, if you're in New Jersey, you're seeing Rhythm and Rhythm and Curaleaf and Kind Tree. You're seeing many more grower processors that have a stake in New Jersey's cannabis industry. They're now like their products are on our shelves. So it's pretty cool to see that. I'm really happy to see the industry grow. But I really want New Jersey to take that social equity part really super seriously. We deserve that. People of color, especially, I am not one, but I am all for them getting the licenses and hopefully tap into that market as a graphic designer. Because those people won't have a lot of money to spend, and I'm not expensive. I'm not a $1 million agency. I'm just one person. But I would, I devote like my full self to that brand, That was a way to marry my passion for graphic design and with cannabis, which, I've self-medicated since 15 years old.
Self-medicated for what?
PTSD for child sexual trauma as a child, which I didn't know that that's what I was doing until I went through years of therapy. But that's what I was using it for. Of course, I just thought I was getting high, but I was getting a good night's sleep. I wasn't having like triggers, and so I was real self-medicating, and continue to do so to this day.
Yeesh. That's a rough one. Well, I'm sorry you had to experience something like that. It
Well, I
takes.
do consider myself a survivor, not a victim, and so I really don't even mind talking about it because I feel if I could tell my story to just one person who would then turn around and whether it be face her abuser or turn them in or just know that they can get and have a fulfilling life beyond past all that, because I certainly do, and I don't let it ruin my day. And then cannabis definitely helps with that.
Tell me about
So I
some
really
type
think
of.
that for veterans, like we have Yeah, my dispensary is 25% off Veteran Mondays. I really think that we should be honoring the veterans, tacking on all their points, and their with every single sale, they should get 25% plus the sale. Like, I really think we could do better with our veterans, to try and prevent some of the 22 deaths a day. On 420, I had rolled up about four joints, and I passed a lot of homeless people on my way to work, and I gave out joints that day.
Wow, that's amazing.
And they look for me, the guys. I'll give them some roaches out of my car or some change. I don't give much, but I do see them out there, and I say, "Hey, I see you. Have a great day." Even if I don't have anything to give them, and they look for me to get that. Because I treat them like they're real people. I don't turn my eyes and avert, and they are real people. They're
Yeah.
somebody's brother or somebody's mom or sister. And they needed to be treated as such. I'm
Absolutely.
astounded at the homeless problem here in Denver. When we landed, we can't even believe our eyes.
Yeah.
40% of the population's living on the streets last year. Well, actually, the homeless has risen 40% since last year. They're everywhere, and they're young, and and it's clean here. Oh my God, it's so clean. They don't, it's, I mean, I'm from Philadelphia, Camden area. So, to see the whole city, there's no scraps of trash, there's no water bottles, there's no trash anywhere. And even when there's this high rate of homelessness, still no trash, which is pretty amazing to see. It is absolutely gorgeous out here. If you've never gotten here, just bring your 21 ID, because recreational legal is it. There's a dispensary on every corner, and it's we there's just weed everywhere.
You said that it raised 40% in the last year.
Last year, the homelessness problem has risen 40% over what it was last year to this year. So it's like almost it's almost doubled by half. It's increased by almost half.
Why do we think that is?
We looked it up last night. I think, well, this is my thing. I think people come out here, young people come out here. This is the Silicon Valley of weed. Humboldt County would probably be a better place. They're not. They've already weaned out the mom and pop grows out there. Here you can still have, I want to say, 24 plants or 60 plants a person.
Wow.
I think they come out with the cannabis, industry dream that they're going to come here and live in the beautiful Rockies. And then they don't have an address. You can't get work with no address.
Right. So you're saying that entrepreneurs, cannabis entrepreneurs are going there and they're inherently failing?
Don't know.
Yeah, so
That's
yeah.
my opinion.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion.
Whoa. My apologies on that.
Yeah, not quite sure. I mean, we read about it, just said that it's risen. It didn't say why.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's about 20 colleges here, though. So I'm not sure whether because they look young. They don't look like old homeless people. I mean, but we're just
Interesting.
astounded at the amount of people pushing carts with a whole house on it and a tent. And there's plenty of work here. So I'm
What's
just
the
not
rent like?
sure.
What's the cost
I'm
of
just not
living?
sure. They're hiring everywhere. There's construction and rebuilding everywhere you look. I'm not sure why they're not working or why they're homeless.
What's the cost of living? It can't be too much.
The median household income is 110 here in Denver. And the minimum wage is $15.87 an hour. They just got a raise to
Wow, that's high.
Sorry. Average is $18 an hour. I've been looking at Yeah, we've been looking, like, we've been checking things out online.
Like, that's really not that bad.
No, it's not. But the cost of living is high, so.
Yeah.
I think they come here with a dream of a cannabis business or Or maybe they fail out of college. I don't know. There's just so many of them, though. Like, I mean, we're really walking, we're walking around and driving around the city, like, with our jaw hitting the ground on it. Because there is a lot of homeless in Philadelphia. There's a lot of homeless in New Jersey, but nothing like what I'm seeing here.
Really, it's
Like,
that bad.
crazy amount of people pushing carts with a whole tent on it. I think you're right. That's a lot of because there's no work really in San Francisco, California, Washington State, or not. You told me that's only about 12 hours. Well, cannabis is about $4 a gram, $1 to $4 a gram in Oregon. So if you have cannabis workers in Oregon that are now not making any money, right, because the rate of their cannabis has dropped so far, maybe they are defecting to here. I'm not sure.
Industries, these owners, they're like slum owners. They don't want to keep their, they just want to pay their minimum wage. They don't want to keep their pay.
My boyfriend's interjecting with his good news.
No, that's all right.
That's
We
the
can,
reason why our
if he
cannabis
has his own
work needs to come
device and his
closer.
own profile, we
That's
can
why
get
we
him in on
can't.
this.
Our cannabis Thursday just had a big union meeting because, unfortunately, Curaleaf, Botanist, all these legal dispensaries, they're not paying their employees. Like, they're just paying them minimum wage, but they're not giving them paid time off when they get sick. They're not giving them medical benefits. They're not giving them Yeah,
vacation.
they give them less than 32 hours. And they do that where I work too.
That's bullshit.
They give the employees less than 32 hours, and that negates them from getting benefits.
So you're making $1 million. You're making millions of
And they
dollars
are
in a
making
year.
millions and
You
millions of dollars, and you're
can't
not taking
take
care of
care
the
of your employees
employees.
like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's where the
Now,
problem
I
is.
do have paid sick time. I'm actually and paid vacation time through my job. And that's one of the reasons I like working for
Had
them.
work there. We get it. It worked over a year.
Well, that's my accrual, but that's my problem because I work part time. If I work full time, I'd accrue it quicker.
And with them maybe doing right now 30%. They're all unionized.
I've heard not high, anything about unionizing.
Do you feel like, or maybe at some point think that the lockdowns or COVID had anything to do with the homeless rate?
I don't know. Everybody should be getting back to work now. I mean, I've seen a lot of people like have to pivot and switch up their careers, and I don't know. Maybe our kids just aren't built of strong enough stuff these days. I see that with my own children. Like, oh, everything's instant gratification. Everything's instant.
Right.
DoorDash, Grubhub, everything is instant for them. So they can't really handle real life
Well, I think the truth
coming
yeah,
at you
it's
hard.
yeah, no, it's what we've built is not conducive to self-discipline and emotional intelligence, and I say it every day. And it's
Yes.
we live in a society that requires reflection for validation. And that's only normal based off of the conditioning we've received, and that's not conducive to creative. That's not a creative environment. That doesn't create environments for people who create artists, stuff like that. Engineers. We need to s make it a traditional and cultural norm for things like self-discipline and emotional intelligence. We need to teach each other. We need to teach our offspring these things. This is why, with emotional intelligence and self-discipline, I always say it. I brag a 66.9% drop off in things like addiction, in things like domestic violence, and things like mental illness. I mean hard numbers. I mean like a hard fixed number drop. That's a large percentage for such a large amount of people. Now, I mean hard core training and development teams called families, where we teach each other self-discipline, love, and emotional intelligence on a regular, daily, consistent, and constant basis. That would eliminate a lot of our problems and fast. Now, imagine a world where we did that constantly, every day.
Oh, I agree. And I also think, I mean, we might want to follow suit with Israel and take our kids and put them into 2 years of like AmeriCorps
Well,
after high school. And you know, like, and we and the kids today, all of them are in college prep and AP classes.
But
Nobody's taking trades.
yeah, but here's the problem. You
right.
work at a college. I want to tell you what's going on with the college. Right. First of all, vocational schools will disappear from our country quick. Second, we come from a highly divorced area. Like, a lot of these kids are growing up without dads and stuff like that to show them how to do this type of work. Then they go to college and they get out and they think they're going to make a lot of money, but they got so much competition from foreigners that come over. They get a lot of the jobs, these foreigners. So it really beats the
And they're in debt
American.
with that with student
Right
loans.
now they're in debt, they can't get a job because the foreigners are getting their jobs. So now these kids have no trades to back home. A lot of them come from broken homes that never taught. And now they just spend all this money in college and they can't get a job because they're hiring basically foreigners over. So where they wind up? Out here on the streets, that's where they wind up. You know what I mean? Now you got college educated kids living on the street because they can't get a job and they don't have a trade to fall back. And yeah, some of them will go be at other jobs. They'll be the three part-time jobs, one at McDonald's, one working at a diner just to support themselves. I'm watching what's going on out here, never in our own state. It's a real shame, but that's what we as the American people have to a lot of work for.
Yeah, we sure do.
The homeless problems in San Francisco too, just as bad as here. For some reason, they all flock out to San Francisco too, a lot of young people. You
It's very
know,
interesting.
so yeah, I mean, yeah, we've become a service industry. We're manufacturing is not really in our country anymore. We provide a service so that so there's only so many service jobs out there, hospitals. You know,
That's why cannabis was such a big boon to everybody. A
right,
whole new
cannabis.
industry
Cannabis is our
and a
medicine.
billion-dollar industry at that.
Right, but now they got it's so loosely unorganized that we're going to do it. It'll work out.
So Hugh Giordano is a friend of mine. He is the union guy from ICEW, I believe. And he, the botanist just organized. They just got unionized. And so I am happy to see that for cannabis workers because I believe we'll get a fair shake, you know? And my dad was a union guy and he was always working.
Yeah.
He always had work. So, and he was able to raise six kids with his union job. So I mean, I am down with that. I don't see anything. You know, bad about it. I'm sure somebody else could argue a million points. I just don't have any.
Yeah, what's the biggest term in the service industry is union wages. We all want the jobs that give you union wages.
Right.
Because you're making
Right.
60 more dollars than what you are normally.
So, yes, and I've reached out to Hugh several times. How can I help? What can I do? So we'll see. Maybe I'll wind up as a job as a union organizer.
Wow.
Or just
We
reschooling,
wouldn't, we
whatever.
definitely need the unions to come back. They've
Yeah.
been
I mean, this
snuffed
is an
out and choked
industry
out for the
that's taken
last, what, 50
the
years?
owners and the you know, the owners and the upper management, they make so much money. I mean, and they are like hedge fund. If the company that I work for, these guys are all Harvard, Yale, Princeton grads, probably never smoked bud a day in their life, and they're the ones reaping all the benefits of the, you know, of the culture, because cannabis is a lifestyle
Right.
for a lot of people. I see it out at our events, and you know, the last one we had over 900 people attend on a Sunday.
Wow.
So there's a definite need for consumption lounges where people can gather because that's what we provided with that event. We don't only have six or eight, you know, legacy vendors out there servicing these people, but we have a bonfire, we have a food truck, we have a band, and man, they come out in droves and they
Wow.
love it. There's everybody's cheesing, everybody's smoking, everybody is having a great time. Hugs are flying. I mean, it's just wonderful. And it's, you know, everybody who goes is like, this is the best day of my life, you know, because they've never seen anything like it. And we really did provide a good service. And of course, rumors flying, we had to shut it down. But we'll be back. They'll be back out there. Maybe not in as big a scale, but they'll be back out there.
Yeah, I
But
was.
if you ask around about the urban hippie Canna Mart, people tell you they're a really good time out there.
Say definitely, it sounds like a great time. Where was this?
Yeah, we were hitting, we would get out onto a farm, private property being key. And we would get a couple of porta pots and some tents, and we would just go out there and set it up, and then we would drop a QR code. People would find out where the event was, and they showed up. I mean, like I said, there was over 900 people at our last event, and that was on a Sunday. Probably the same amount of people came through on Saturday, but another 900 people.
Wow. Free admission?
$5 to get in gets you a pre-roll and a raffle ticket, and you can win
Shit.
weed.
Shit. What's that?
Gave
Nothing.
out ounces, quarter pounds, and a pound,
Oh, that's awesome.
and then baskets from the vendors who would have their topicals in there or their edibles or they would make up little gift baskets. So about 10 or 12 raffle prizes went out, like door prizes.
Oh, shit. When, where was
And
this?
the $5 entry paid for tenting, paid for the porta pots.
And where was
I
this?
mean, I'm not saying these guys weren't out there making a lot of money or a lot of
Right.
tax-free dollars, which they were, but if they LLC'd up, they might not be having some issues,
Yeah.
The government just wants their cut, man. That's how I feel. They just want their
They
cut.
always, I mean, they always want their cut. At this point, it's become a natural response to want to give them money because of just it's just not like a natural fear, like, oh fuck man, I gotta I'm thinking about selling ad slots, and I have a couple of people interested in buying ad slots, and I'm like looking into all this fucking tax information and all this other stupid shit and all these fucking laws about it. And it doesn't really apply to me because of the prices I'm selling them for. But at some point, say I start doing them, selling ad slots for a high amount of prices, I mean,
Right.
heesh, I'm gonna have to start paying out, and it's gonna be a lot of fucking money. And
Sure.
it's not gonna be for anything real. They're not gonna protect me from anything. They're not gonna help me, if my business fails for some stupid reason, and that money that I paid out in taxes isn't gonna come back to me in some, it's not gonna,
Right.
it doesn't
So
make any
I'm
sense.
actually running up against the same thing you are. I have a website. It's promote420.com. And so we're going to be out selling ads for that too. Pretty much, apparel, entertainment, accessories, smoke shops, there'll be a category. Click on the category. There'll be CBD categories. I'm hoping to get dispensaries to advertise. The bigger the MSOs, because I mean, while they can, it's just another venue, and I think that the price will be so small that, I'm talking Brewster's Millions, you know what I'm saying? Like pennies on the dollar. So I know what I want is just a lot of pennies, to add up for me and be a passive income. And like if you're paying $5 a month for ad space someplace, you're getting a little return. You don't know, a little bit of return on your investment, but you could be getting more return on your investment. But you go to cancel that sub, but oh, guess what? You already paid for the month, so then they forget about it for a few more months, and that's what I'm hoping for, really. So the people will be like, well, it's not that big a deal. I'm only paying 420 for the ad space for the month, or 710. Or 14 or 28 or 54, depending on, because what we wanted to do was have like they would get a listing for 420. For 710 they get a pop-up. For 14 they get the landing page. For 28 they get the landing page. They get links added and featured products on a featured product page somewhere, right? So You know, if you're a CBD guy and you don't really have a lot of space to advertise, and maybe and then we pushed for this, we'll pay for the CEO or the SEO push, and make sure that we're hitting every keyword, and then hopefully something would take off. We've owned the website for a couple years now. We just haven't really done anything, but I think now is the time the iron might be hot for this particular project.
Yeah, I'd say so. I'd say so.
And of course, our affiliates like Cushion Coffee, well, they would have free ad space,
Hey. Hey.
right? So
Hey, here we go. Free ad
exactly, you know what I'm
space. See,
talking about. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you would just have a sidebar of running businesses, and people can click on it and say, well, what's this about?
Cushion coffee, the
So,
fuck is that?
right, exactly. But you would have under it, like you'd have your logo, and it would be like, live talk, real talk, whatever,
Right.
podcast, and then people would click on it, maybe take it to your YouTube page with all your podcasts on there.
Right.
So
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of YouTube, but we'll get there maybe someday.
well, you're gonna have to have a place where people can reach out and find you, and
Yeah. No, I'm on
so
Spotify and Google, Amazon. I have a no sign up site where you don't even have to sign up anything. You just go on there and start listening.
Interestingly enough, right? So I met these girls in New Jersey. They were from New Jersey originally. Way Up Goodies and Nubia 420 are their like tag names. Two black women trying to break into the weed industry in New Jersey. Now they had been here in Denver and learned everything they needed to know. One of them works for Cookies. They come to New Jersey. New Jersey's just not ready for them. They had to take mundane jobs, not in the industry, just to keep their apartment and keep living. So I met them, talked about where they wanted to go, what I wanted to do. Lo and behold, 6 months later, they can't make it in New Jersey. Now they're back in Denver, back working in processing lab jobs, creating concentrate and cartridges for Cookies. So I'm meeting up with them sometime today. I'm supposed to catch up with them because they're back here in Denver. And I said, hey, I'm coming out, And also, another guy that I'm meeting out here is the Chris Becker from the Honeybee Collective. Now, Chris is also a New Jersey native that's come out to Denver to make his mark, and his products just hit dispensary shelves. So pretty cool that I'm going to get to catch up with him. I think we're doing dinner Monday night before I take off out of town.
Wow.
Yeah, and his product is just hitting the shelves.
In
He's
Jersey?
got three different strains. One is Peace, one is Party, and one is sleep or something. So there's like they have a different way to put indica, sativa, and hybrid on their packaging.
Right.
One's like Peace, one's Party, and one's something else. I forget what it said, but I'm so excited for these guys. Like, these are people who have, New Jersey failed them, but they managed to come out swinging here in Colorado. So it's super cool. We
And
tried to
their
put their
product's
throat
not in
to them.
Jersey
So
yet, or
what's that?
their product isn't in Jersey yet, or
No. Every single state has its own grower processors. We will not be selling any bud in New Jersey that's from any other state. And here in Colorado, all the edibles, all the topicals, they are created here in Colorado. And every single state will be the same. Pennsylvania has 37 grower processors. They grow and process cannabis for Pennsylvania. And we won't be selling any Pennsylvania product. Like Rhythm is a multi-state corporation that covers cannabis in all different states. They grow Brownie Scout in Pennsylvania. We can't get Brownie Scout in New Jersey as a strain.
Wow.
So they grow different strains altogether. Head cracker, animal mints. They grow different strains altogether. We probably won't see Brownie Scout unless somebody develops that strain or clone or Yeah, until it's federally legal, then we will see those seeds crossing state lines.
Wow. It.
So if you didn't know that, that is how every single state works, because the cannabis, because it's not federally legal, they have to do everything within the state.
How are we looking on the federal
Interestingly
level?
enough.
Is it looking like it's going to be legal on the federal level anytime soon, or?
I believe that to be true because they also need the money.
Yeah.
It's been through the House twice. They need to pass in the Senate. And I mean, we're just showing such huge numbers. How can they not pass it?
Right.
Like, it would be ridiculous to not, because right now we have cannabis. Like, I'm looking on a receipt here. There's neighborhood tax and fee. There's a RTD, which is their public transportation system fee. So 40 cents of my money went to that. So that's where the honey pot is. It's not in the 2% tax that New Jersey is going to make. It's in all those fees that the municipalities can lean on these growers and these owners. They can do, clean up the community tax.
Right,
Like,
right.
they can call it whatever they want. And that's where they're going to make the money. That's what's going to happen in this small little, what is it? Brewster's Millions, those
Yeah.
pennies that are taken out of your sale and added to something else. Well, I'm only paying 40 cents to the RTD fund here in Denver, but there's how many people paying it
Right.
a day.
Right.
So, and that's where they make the money.
Yeah, I mean, it's not impossible to see that marijuana is a beautiful and gorgeous new stream of cash for municipalities and states. It's just we as a people have to pay attention enough, imagine that, to where this money is going, what these people are doing with the policies, what these people are doing in general, you know.
Well, you're absolutely right because I had attended a town council meeting in my own hometown where they had put buried the cannabis ban on. They didn't want any cannabis business, and they buried it in zoning. And they like were kind of just sliding it through without bringing it to the town's attention. But somebody brought it to my attention, and I showed up at that meeting. I was like, cease and desist, halt, because Clementon voted, 78% of Clementon, my hometown, voted to bring cannabis to their town. And that didn't mean we just wanted to be able to smoke it. That meant we want to profit off it. That meant we want to work in the industry. And and when I came in with my numbers, everything changed. When I told them that when a dispensary lands in your hometown, your property values go up to 22%. And more businesses will come to our town.
22%.
22%. That's a national average that I found in an article somewhere. And it was enough to sway them to write an ordinance and to get cannabis in Clementon.
Wow.
So I did that. Interesting.
You wow.
Try to
Don't
sneak
play
it by me,
fucking
and I
games,
wasn't having
huh?
it.
You don't play games
Me, a single
about.
person, went in and made my case, and they said, okay, we're going to consider it. Next thing I knew, they're writing ordinances now.
And if at any point in time, and that's the point, that's the thing about doubt is so strong. And if at any point in time that you doubted yourself, or you allowed someone else's doubt to infect your motive, you wouldn't have done that. And it
Right.
would be a completely different, area. It would be a completely different town. And that's the point about doubt, is that doubt kills more of your efforts than failure ever does. Ever.
Yeah, I could agree with you on that.
Well, I'm proud of you because you beat the stigma too. Like, you gotta let people know you smoke pot. I don't let people know I smoke.
Yeah, you're right. I'm very out about my cannabis use, and I'm an intelligent person, and I educate them on it. And I think that when they, hear it coming from me, and I'm not all stoned,
You're stupid.
and I'm not stupid, and I'm not lazy, and they can clearly see, and I mean, I'm a heavy smoker. I mean, we're already smoking here for breakfast.
Well,
So,
it's a
you
requirement
know,
here on Kush & Coffee. You need Kush, a little bit of
right,
Kush,
it's
and a little bit
required
of
for Kush and
coffee.
Coffee, but unfortunately, the stigma's still there.
Yes, the stigma's still there, and that's what I hope to break is people thinking that stoners are lazy and they're stupid and we're unmotivated, because I'm anything but unmotivated.
I own my own business. I'm a heating and air conditioning guy. I made a lot of money in my life. Last month popped the whole time I did it. I won't let people know here because then they're scared to work. Believe it or not, they oh smoke pile, I'm gonna work with you. It's unsafe. Well, if you drink beer, fuck the shit drink. And I would rather work with anybody that is hungover from edibles than somebody who's hungover from alcohol. Because they're useless. When you're hungover from alcohol, you're useless.
Literally useless. Literally,
Yeah.
that's why I love doing work with Carrie, because her and I are both heavy smoke. Well, I smoke a lot of THC. I don't think she does the THC,
No, she smokes more CBG
but
and
she's still a
CBD,
smoker.
CBN.
She does her thing, with cannabis. And but you know I, that's why I love talking to her. We're both, you know, pretty intelligent people, so that's why I love talking to her, and that's why I love doing my solo content too, because I always say I always tell them, everyone who's listening, that I'm smoking, and I just go on my tangents and my rants, and sometimes I sound good, sometimes I don't, and I don't really, you know.
Well, at least you can edit it. You see,
Well, I don't.
I'm somewhere and listen to him. Oh,
I
this is
don't. I
never,
don't
you know.
edit it though, and that's one of the points. Is like, I feel like everyone's production is so like top notch. Like you need to be on top of your shit all the time. How about not? How about you just go up and really just show some genuine self expressions and show who you really are? You know, imagine a little bit of that. You like, you're no one's perfect, so you're gonna fuck up. At some point, you're gonna fuck up, and my fuck ups are recorded, and I apologize for my fuck ups. And sometimes I say some stupid shit, and I'm like, shame. Maybe I shouldn't have said that, but it's never really vulgar or anything really that, you know, intense or serious. So, you know, we're all just
So no
having a
need to
good
go
time
back
out
and
here.
re-edit over that if it's not that, you know. You're
Yeah.
not hurting anyone. You're not
No.
hurting anyone's feelings.
No.
That's another thing in New Jersey, which is old cannabis marijuana.
Oh, Anthony, I'm sorry. Let me introduce you to my boyfriend, Sean,
Oh,
who
that's all
happens to be
right.
having coffee and goods with us.
Yeah, I
Well, that's all
couldn't stay
right.
out the conversation. I'm sorry.
No,
Because
that.
I've been doing it. I'm 49 too. And I started in the marijuana, like protesting and everything in 2010. But because I work for the state, I have to keep it all under key. Because again, look, I've done built buildings. High in marijuana, but if I told people I was high in marijuana, they'd be like, "Oh my God, don't let them do it!" Like there's a bad stigma still to it, and unfortunately, that's the way it is for now. Hopefully, that all changes. But yeah, I've seen a lot of stuff happen over the past 12 years. So I actually looked at Colorado. They've been in medical since 2000, so for 22 years, and since 2012 recreational. So I know that we probably got about another 10 more years in New Jersey before we get to this. That
Right, this level of sophistication.
but it's going to be different in New Jersey because, like, again, with them unions, they'll make sure that the workplace is a safe workplace and people get training. Like, another thing Wednesday did, she brought that medical cannabis store to Clementon, but she also, because she's on the union, she introduced the owner to a union guy so they could talk. And what they could do for each other. And it was a great conversation I heard. I'm gonna be honest with
Yes, it was.
you.
It was. I admit that was really.
That was cool. I seen it. It was cool. I heard everything happened.
It's been a wild ride, Anthony. And I mean, like, I think that, you know, it's always something gets sacrificed. I have two teenagers, and I probably feel like I don't pay close enough attention because I'm so involved in the cannabis space. I don't want to say the industry, I want to say the space, because like I said, I'm all for gray market. I'm all for bringing these guys in and letting them open up shops and then, you know, saying now pay your dues. That's what they need to do. But the state of New Jersey has to have an easier pathway for these guys. You know, they can't when these guys have 50, 60, 80, $100,000 put away, you know where they got the money. You know how they made the money. Why are you asking them to produce all of this paperwork to show where they got the money? We know where they got the money. They've been selling for years, years and years. And they have been keeping the New Jersey, the citizens of New Jersey, less murdery, let's say. Yes. You know, with their service. Where were people getting weed before? If it wasn't for somebody like Ed Weedman Fortune, where? So I really admire these guys, and I would love to see New Jersey say to Ed, you deserve a license. Here you go. Now buy your products in Jersey. That's what has to happen.
And it's a big event. It's like, I don't know, we went to this place called the Berlin Farmers Market last week. Well, they have, you could go get a table outside for $40. So there was about 5 or 6 vendors out there.
Weed dealers
selling behind the Berlin Farmers Market. That's right. Cops came up, they looked, they walked away and do a thing. But it was an interesting conversation because there was a guy next to me. And I said, how old are you? He said, oh, I'm 56. I said, yeah, I'm 49. He goes, you know what's crazy? He said, I'm really glad weed's fun. But here's what happened. I was a young man and I went to prison for marijuana. And I had to give the state of New Jersey thousands and thousands of dollars and time of my life away. He said, now the same people forbid that to me are selling it and allowing this to go on. And I told him, I said, well, that's a shame for you, but you'll never get that time back or the money. You know, but things have changed now. But yeah, we seen 2 police officers. They walked right up the aisle. The guy was, had ounces all out on his table, everything. They looked and walked away. Because I said, right now, this is another thing in New Jersey. You are taking away people's criminal records right now. So how can I arrest somebody for marijuana when I'm
expunging this guy, when you're expunging the next guy? Right. How do you do it? It's a complete conflict.
Yeah, I can't expunge you from your TAM, then arrest another guy in town for marijuana.
Same thing.
When I just expunged you for...
So the cops are in a very precarious situation right now. And they really are just turning their eyes. We watched them. They did not look at the table. They looked anywhere but that table with the 10 ounces of weed sitting on it. I'm telling you, they worked very hard at averting their eyes. It was like, if I don't see it, I can't do anything about it, right?
Right.
So they didn't. I mean, we were standing right there. And, I mean, was I a little nervous?
Yeah.
I was slightly nervous. I wasn't nervous for me. I was nervous for the guy behind the table selling the bud.
I had to watch it all out.
But we stayed there and waited and watched till the police went away. And we were like, hot damn, I can't believe that just happened.
Jeez.
Yeah, that's the only reason I can fear it, because, like, what is it, 5 pounds or less? So how can I expunge somebody that just went to jail 2 years ago, 5 pounds left, and then arrest this
person? And then arrest this person. It's a complete conflict.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. The police are really being volleyballed back and forth. And yes. It's also coming out, and police departments... forcing police officers not, you know, they're not, they're forcing them, saying that you're not allowed to smoke. Like Tom Driver recently came out and said that their police force isn't allowed to smoke. Like, what the fuck? What the fuck is that? Like, what, they can go to the bar.
Guys, to go drink alcohol, become alcoholics, which is a terrible, terrible thing. Anthony, I'm going to state right now, my ex-husband died of cirrhosis of the liver, and it was a terribly painful way to die. And, you know, he died at 55. And wow. My kids are, you know, I have my boyfriend here, but my kids don't have a dad, and that's due to alcohol. And these cops are allowed to treat themselves for PTSD, because what do? They see the worst in every single person. Every person that they're arresting, it's the worst day of their life. They're not doing anything happy. It's not a happy job.
Right, but here's the deal. Just like at my college, so I work for Rowan University. So because it's federally illegal now, you are not allowed, even though it's recreational legal in New Jersey, if you're 21 and you live on that college campus, you are not allowed to bring marijuana on any of their properties. You're not allowed to smoke it.
Yeah.
You will get in trouble for it because it's fairly, and that goes with these cops. So because it's fairly illegal, they go by that safe work free area. Like they signed it in 1996. Basically, it's a law for the drug testing. So you and me work together, that you're not going to feel unsafe working with me because the employer is making sure that I'm not on drugs and stuff at work. And vice versa, you know? And alcohol, because it's not on the, you know, the illegal, yeah, it's not on any list. So that's why they can't tell you, oh, you're not allowed to drink. But if it was federally legal to drink, like prohibition, they could. So until it becomes federally legal, these places are going to be able to tell the police. And again, it goes back to the stigma. It's the townsfolk saying,
right,
hey, well, if that police officer smokes the night before, he's going to be impaired the next day and not do his job to 100%. But the same deal goes for the guy that drank the bottle of vodka the night before and went in.
And we know that he's impaired. He could probably barely keep his eyes open.
Right, and they get these guys. But it's because of that federal. As soon as it becomes federally legal, which I do believe soon, things are going to change rapidly, like transporting it from across state lines.
Yeah.
They can't tell, like at the college I work at, I'm the same thing, employed. Like, hey, even though it's recreational, I cannot leave my campus, go buy a bag, and then go back on campus, and I'm getting trouble because I'm not allowed to have it on their property. So that's the only way they're getting around it now, is that drug-free, safe workplace.
Yeah. They're holding on. Tooth and claw, they're holding on. college institutions are a whole nother beast in and of themselves anyway. Like, the second you step onto any educational center or property, you're risking, or you're like giving up a parts of your rights or some shit. I forget exactly what is attached to it.
It's okay, but them college kids ain't stopping, dude. They're smoking that shit all over campus.
Right.
Because they're going right across the street to the frat houses. Oh,
right.
College property.
Yeah, exactly. And they've been doing that for 80 years. So, like, you're not stopping them now.
No. You know what? And police officers have been smoking marijuana all day. I know a lot of police officers that smoke, but they got to keep it all quiet.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people have smoked, you know? A lot. And I still don't understand the stigma attached to it. And I was actually picking apart the New Jersey CRC site, and you can just see the stigma bleeding out of the shit that they were saying. Like, the poison control center number was posted on there like 4 times. It was like, if you believe you have marijuana toxicity or marijuana poisoning, please call this number.
I get it. Dude, it tried to scare it. Well, the college did the same thing in their email. You're like, even though it's recreational, 21 or older, you can't have it on campus for every day. And then they go into, like you said, they go into. Now, remember, if you meet somebody that is 21 and they do give you marijuana, just because they say it's from a dispensary, don't mean it is. And it could have fentanyl in it. LSD. I didn't even know where my head LSD in.
Right. Right. Like, you think.
I do hear about fentanyl laced bud, but it's always a rumor. It's never.
Yeah, but just send that animal.
Never factual.
Yeah.
Scaring the kids like that. That's what they're doing. They're scare tactics. It's the stigma, like you said. And that CRC, I've had it too. It was holy shit.
I don't think there's any, like, economical gain from lacing marijuana with fentanyl. I don't think they would gain any more or less money from that. They would probably lose money from that. So that's why I never understood people. Yeah. Yeah. That's why I never understood people that were afraid of having their marijuana laced. Like, how much did you pay for this? Oh, a normal price. Oh, all right. Well, let me tell you something. If it was laced with LSD or psilocybin or shrooms or angel dust, trust me, you'd be paying double, first of all.
Yep.
And to say that you're going to get laced marijuana for regular prices means that they're giving you free drugs. And if you've ever met a drug dealer that gives you free drugs, they're probably creepy, and you're going to get all fives from them anyway. So,
yep.
It doesn't make
any
sense.
I remember when I first started smoking when I was a teenager. It was probably back like in 1992, 91. The big scare was then. They said that people were going, you know, Raid, Ant Killer Raid.
Yeah.
They were spraying all the weed with Raid. that's where you got higher.
Or embalming fluid, right?
Yeah, the embalming fluid, that was a big one.
Yeah.
But the Raid was like, they were like, don't smoke it, the weed could be sprayed with Raid. I'm like, what?
So we just, we've been shopping at a dispensary out here. It's called the Oasis Cannabis Superstore. We did some price comparison.
Yeah.
And, they're definitely, I mean, they're running about $35 to $45 an eighth, depending on THC level and strain and grower. Like Veritas is out here. They're about a $45 eighth. But they had plenty to choose from in the $30 and $35 range on the Ace. They have cases and cases with edibles of every, like, so many different kinds of gummies. And I got these killer blueberry lavender gummies with CBN, CBD, and THC. They're amazing. They're amazing. I just can't wait for New Jersey to step it up and bring products like this to the consumer.
Is there a new is there a marijuana? Nice talking to you, Anthony. I'm sorry, what was that?
I said it was nice talking to you, Anthony, and meeting you. Very enjoyable conversation I had with you. I gotta get dressed. I'm going to the botanical garden.
Yeah, we're going to the botanical gardens this morning.
Oh, okay.
And we went to the Science and History Museum and saw a Egyptian exhibit yesterday, which was phenomenal. If you
I
go
know.
Check out my pictures, they're posted on my regular wall.
I did. I saw that. That was so cool.
Yeah, it's been a great trip. I used to live out here. I lived out here in the late 80s, early 90s, and I left right before they started their legalization. And unfortunate for me, I was selling weed out here at the time. I sold weed for 30 years. I always sold weed to supplement my smoking. I would either sell a quarter pound and break it up and keep an ounce, or I would sell an ounce, break it up and keep a quarter, whatever. I was always the go-to chick for any of my friends that needed bud. I was always that person. Then I had kids. I kind of had to slow my roll. My ex-husband was, like I said, he didn't seem to care if I smoked, but when it came time to pay for it or anything like that, like, you know, he didn't want to take it out of household finances. So then again, I was selling weed to support my habit. Right. So I'm just awesomely so excited to be, like, out of the cannabis closet, into the cannabis industry. And, making it so that my kids won't have any issues like I did with that.
Right.
To be proactive for me, for them, and just bring good cannabis to my hometown. That'd be really exciting.
Yeah.
You know, to be the one to do that.
Is there a marijuana facts, like it kind of looks like, or a cannabis facts on products out there? Like, kind of like nutritional facts?
No, I guess not. Not what, except for what's seen on the labels, maybe.
Yeah.
And I did see on some labeling out here, which I pay close attention to packaging and labeling because that's my business, and compliancy. I worked automotive, financial, at casino, education. In every aspect of all kinds of industries, but compliance was always key. Like, you know, the Subaru logo has to have the same amount of space on each side as it does top and bottom. Like, that's compliancy.
Right.
We're making sure that the packaging has that cannabis symbol on it, and the warnings and those kind of things. So compliancy is key for almost any industry, but especially so for cannabis being it's regulated sales. That's what it is. It's regulated goods. Retail sales of regulated goods. If people could remember that, like alcohol, you know, that'd be good.
Wow. What if, yeah, I think, I interviewed Carrie about it. We used to, about the marijuana or the cannabis facts that, in New Jersey that we're pushing. I don't know if you've heard of this, or that there are, or whoever is pushing for a label that looks very similar to nutritional facts, and it has like a laundry list of cannabinoids on it. And that would be...
Well, that would be lovely because the PA has that. They have terps and cannabinoids listed on their labels. And I would love to see New Jersey do that. Right now, all we have is the THC level.
Mm.
And if there is I think there's CBG, CBN, that might be starting to be listed. I've noticed it because it says like there's zero CBD. Most of the packaging, because they, you know, we don't grow any CBD heavy strains unless they're like, I think I've seen some ACDC and just a couple others. They used to sell Royal CBD, I think at Breakwater. So they do list that, but they don't really, they're not heavy on the, there's no ingredients. Now here I'm seeing they list everything that's in the soil, worm casings, bad guano.
Oh shit, really?
So that was interesting. Yes, that was interesting to me. And I just pointed that out to Sean yesterday. I go, look at this label. And it had everything that was in the soil.
Wow.
So that was cool. And I do pay attention to packaging, but I digressed. I went off on why I pay attention to packaging, but that's why.
No, yeah, no, it makes sense.
You know, that's my end of the business.
No, that makes sense. That makes sense. I would love to see something like that. It just makes sense to have something like that. You know,
so
I mean,
that's going to be up to the people who go for that, the laboratory licensing.
Mm.
That's going to be up to them to change those things. And so if I opened a lab and I said to Curaleaf, hey, I'm not going to just test for this. I'm going to test for all of these things, and we're going to put all of this on your label. Are you going to go with me, or are you going to go with that guy who only does the THC test?
Right.
Because the consumers want to see that stuff, I'm telling you.
No, absolutely.
When I cop a product from PA, I know that it's got like 0.026% of humulene and a 1.52% of myrcene and caryophyllene. I see all that on the packaging there, and I like it, and it helps to dial in the right medicine for the patient.
Right.
That's the most important thing.
Right.
Because even the patients are starting to get savvier.
Hmm. Speaking of patients, the New Jersey said that there wasn't any patient access problems on the first day that they had rec sales. And the lovely machine of social media says that there was a bunch of patient access problems.
Right.
Did you experience any patient access problems or know of anybody that experienced patient access problems?
I don't personally know of anybody that was a patient. Most patients that I know exploited the 420 sales.
Uh-huh.
And that's one of the reasons that we did that. Like New Jersey put out $180 ounces on 420,
right,
so that the patients would stock up and not be out there on the 21st.
Oh.
And I'm sure that was by design.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Because there was a lot of sales. Cannabis had buy three ace, get three ace for a dollar. And if you bought their strains, that would be $183 for six eighths.
Wow.
Right. That's not a bad price.
No, it's not.
For cannabis coming from a dispensary.
No,
so,
agreed.
Yeah, I would have been excited to. I mean, I never need bud. You know, we're out here looking for different things and high THC counts and stuff like that. But because of my work with those legacy guys, I really, you know, I get paid in weed, I guess. I don't get paid cash. I get gifted bud for my services.
There you go.
And I'm okay. I like the barter system.
Yeah, no. Oh, barter system makes a little bit more sense sometimes, for sure. Also,
for me, especially because my work is time driven. It's not it's not material driven. It's time driven.
Mm.
So, you know, I can definitely always afford to help somebody out. You know, if they don't have what I'm looking for in a way of barter, I'll just do a quickie. You know,
right. New Jersey
But it's been a
also.
great way to marry my passion for graphic design and my knowledge of compliance with my love of cannabis and all things weed related.
Yeah. So since you're in graphics design, well, I actually got a more updated version of my logo that I haven't put up yet. But how would you rate that logo?
If it's what you wanted, then it's 100% amazing.
There you go. I love
You
that
know what I
answer.
mean?
It's exactly
If
what I
it's
wanted.
exactly what you wanted, then she did a great job.
Like we didn't even have a phone call about it. I sent her a few text messages and she sent me that picture back and I was like, "Hey, I like
Right. And
that."
I'm sure she would have tweaked it to any specifications that you might have laid out, like, oh, hey, I like these colors. You know what I mean? Like, I do a quick consultation that's included in my design. And I also give an application. Like, I'll set it up for you to get business cards or a banner. Like, I'll do one application of your logo for you that comes with my package. So I do the consultation. I'll send five designs. You'll like say, oh, I love design number one. I love the font from that, but I love the colors that are on four, and I love the feel of three. So can we somehow, and then I'll send back a revised version of just the one logo that we talked about. And then I
Right.
just get it to where they go, this is perfect. I love it. And, that's how I work.
Wow. And how is business these days in that field?
Well, my Sean had just said, like, I don't really do much outside of the cannabis space these days. Like, I would if the work came to me, but
Right.
I don't really go out seeking it because I work part time at the dispensary. I have two kids to raise. And so I just do, like, it's just like my side hustle at this point. And because I run the three groups, which is a really a full time job, I've got to say, it turned into much more than I ever thought it would be. And it's not a thankless job, but it's a job that doesn't pay.
Right.
So, but it is I do get something out of it. I get people that say, oh my God, this group, like somebody will come up to me at an event and it'll be like, hey, Wednesday, I'm Stephanie. I don't know Stephanie, but she knows me.
Right.
So then I say, Stephanie, last name? She gave me the last name. I may or may not recognize her from participation in the group, but when they say thank you,
Yeah.
because of you, we now have access. We have people that we can call. I'm not dealing with a sketch guy on the corner. I'm not driving to Camden or bad areas to cop on the street.
Right.
And that is the thanks that I'm looking for. It's access for all and safe access. So I may direct them to a legacy dealer, or somebody that's going to deliver to them right away. Because I think that the bud is just as good, if not better, than the dispensary sometimes.
Yeah, I
And a
mean.
lot of times it's a lot less expensive and it's being delivered right to your door. So nobody's not liking that.
Right. Cheaper and it's door to door.
Right, and it's being delivered to your door. Or you can come out to one of these events, which they're happening all over New Jersey. It's not just the Better Days events, although I do promote them as being the best because I feel like they're the best. But you've got plenty of people all up and down New Jersey hosting these little pot parties, and there's a couple vendors in there, and you can go get bud, and you can smoke and listen to music or do a paint and puff. Or, there's the comedy show, I hate to say the name, Thnacks, Thnacks. Thnacks. They host events in Monmouth and in Camden County. They sometimes have a band. They have a comedy guy that comes out and does a little comedy skit. They make it like if you pay $10 to get in, you're going to get something for the $10 beside access to the weed and smoking and. Some infused foods might be available, or some infused cotton candy. I've seen everything out there. There's, people are deconstructing Oreos, filling the cream, filling the centers with infused cream, dipping them in a can of chocolate. They're decorated to the nines. They're beautiful edibles that you can buy now. You
Holy
know,
shit.
it's great. I'd love to see all these people get a license, and I'd love to see their products on the shelves of the dispensaries. You
Yeah.
know, eventually. You don't see any, like, there's really no brownies and cookies on dispensary shelves because they don't have a shelf life. But chocolate, gummies, tinctures, all that stuff has a really long shelf life. So you can have, that kind of thing on the shelves. But it would
Right.
be great to see these. Savvy Jane, have you talked with Savvy Jane?
I have.
Right? Amazing lady and amazing cannabis infused product she has. I mean, she does the research. They're good for you. She has these, they're like a protein ball. It's a lot of people who don't process edibles in a regular way that say, oh, I've never, gotten high off an edible, or I've never gotten, satisfaction from any eating an edible. They'll try hers and it'll work. So, she's getting together with Carrie, and they're figuring out how to, bypass that whatever enzyme problem people are having.
Yeah.
So it's all amazing, and I'm just so grateful and blessed to know all these people and to have integrated myself into their lives and share information and share ideas. It's just, I have to sometimes say, is this my life?
Yeah. Yeah, no.
Is this really my life? This is so awesome.
Everyone
I
I've
really do. I
spoken
feel
with.
like I'm reaching my pinnacle,
I love the community as well. Everyone I've spoken with is very nice and very helpful. And they deliver information and feedback in a non-toxic way. They are they're masters at their craft, so
Absolutely.
I'm grateful for meeting them. And everyone I've talked to so far, like I said, it's just been absolutely amazing. Yeah, I've talked to Carrie a number of times in Canna RN. I just rolled out the Folium edition, the Cushion Coffee Folium edition. Carrie's now co-host, so you'll be able to
It's fabulous. I
get.
just love all the connections, and while we don't share everything that is, our lives are all individual, but we all share this one thing, and we bring it together so great. It's just, it's incredible to watch. And I said, to Sean, he's like, oh, well, we're going to be here in 10 years. I'm like, but I'll be 65. Like, will I be able to enjoy this?
Oh, I'm sure you will
Like,
be.
I'm headed towards retirement here. But I'm glad to see it all happening. I'm glad that I didn't miss out. It's exciting for me. And, and I feel like I'm integral in making it happen. So that's awesome for me.
Yeah, definitely a powerful part of the community, absolutely. To walk into a meeting like that and just swap up everything, just flip the script, definitely show strength.
Oh yeah, and when I told it, when I gave those numbers at that town council meeting, and I said, hey, let me put this into numbers that you can really understand. That Belmar received a check for $380,000 for this year's cannabis sales. And also that Belmar gets $4 from the sale, the Belmar Fire Department specifically gets $4 from the sale of every t-shirt that Curaleaf sells.
Wow.
Right. And when they heard those numbers, that's what really flipped the script. That's what really changed the whole narrative of no, we don't want this, to maybe this is something that we can look into.
And that's what it's
And
going
then
to take.
they did the research, and now they're writing the ordinance. So It's happening, and I'm thrilled. I hope that my kids, I'm trying to tell my kids, get into horticulture and cultivation. It's not a really dirty job. Although you're digging in the dirt, it's not a dirty job.
Right.
And my nephew was working at Curaleaf, and he was bumping cones for $18 an hour. So he would go into work from 7 at night to 3 in the morning, pop on his headphones, and jam out to his music. And bump cones all night and package up the bud for Curaleaf.
Wow.
And they paid pretty decent for that, $18 an hour. There he was being paid more than me, and I'm actually I do check in and bud tend. So I'm glad that my kids will be able to find, work, and of course they probably know more about bud than the average 15 or 16 year olds, because that's all that's talked about in my house. Weed is the number one topic of conversation.
I love it. I love it. It's reversing the stigma one council meeting at a time. And it's
That's
because
right.
people don't have that pathway of thinking. They just don't quite understand it. They're just still under the blinder mindset, the convenient mindset, the old mindset is just, oh no, it's bad. It's bad. It's just bad. Why is it bad? I don't know why it's bad. It's just bad. It's associated with
Right.
criminal
We had
activity.
one council member who like dug her feet in and was like, I'll never agree to this. I've been a nurse for 35 years. And I said, okay, well then can I ask you, how many overdoses of cannabis have you seen? Well, none. And I said, well, what are your concerns? And she said, well, are they going to get out of the dispensary and get in their car and fire up and run over a child? I said, we have 6 bars in town. Are you that concerned about those people that get in their cars intoxicated from alcohol, and you think they run over children? I go, can you give me an instance that this has ever happened? And then we could address it, but you're talking about something fictitious
Right.
that's never happened.
Right.
So, by the end of these meetings, the mayor was like, well, listen, we don't really need your vote. We're going to take this to a vote, and majority rules around here. So.
Jeez.
I made so many valid points, and they were just like, yeah. So Clementon did agree to a medical-only dispensary, but they are open to see what how that medical dispensary does, and then open recreational dispensaries.
Oh, there's
But they just
no.
want to see, they want to see, they're trepidatious, and they want to see
Yeah.
if it's going to work for our town and whether it brings a bad element. They're worried about people hanging out around, but that doesn't happen. I work in a dispensary. We offered them a tour of Garden State and they didn't take it. So, we were really happy to show them an actual grow seed to store facility, seed to, and they didn't go for it, but we did offer it. Hugh Giordano, the union guy, and myself, we arranged a tour and everything. They didn't go for it. But they're passing it, and that was what it was important.
I love it. The way you explained it, like it just makes me think that they're just afraid of just a bunch of Jay and Silent Bobs. Just like there's
Yes.
people s just standing out there smoking weed, like, no, people don't actually do that. I mean,
No,
we did,
no. And
but we
when you
don't.
go into a dispensary and there's a buzzer outside and it's like, hi, can I see your card in the camera? Like, they don't even get in a medical dispensary without having that medical card. They can't even get through the first door, let alone the second door, and then the third door into the actual dispensary, because I sit behind 3 inches of glass. And
Okay.
they, put their card in a little slot, and I check them in, and then we bring them back. So, I think if they could have actually seen the professional way that people are handled, and that the dispensary, I work in the Apple store of weed. Like, we have glass and wood and open piping and very industrial and sleek and cases, and there's no weed out, there's no jars of weed anywhere. Everything is packaged so tightly you can't smell it or see it to take it home with you. Like, all you can do is go by my word that this stuff's fire and everybody's buying it. I can't even try it, so I'm just gonna tell everybody's buying this.
Oh, shit.
But if they could see, you know, if the regular person could see how professionally it's all handled now, and it's really just, it's a nice experience. We give everybody a really nice experience to, you know, to come in.
Yeah, there's no way it's not going to have organic growth. There's no way.
Exactly. So as long as we can keep educating people and, you know, knocking down those stigma doors one at a time, one town at a time, one person at a time, you know, it'll happen. I mean, and it's not a matter of if it's going to happen, it's when it's going to happen.
Right. So the other day I was on the CRC website once again, and it forced me to come up with two fixed questions I'm now going to ask all of my cannabis extraordinaires, right? You, my friend, are a cannabis extraordinaire, I'm going to ask, right? Have you ever hallucinated?
I'm so flattered. I just see myself as just this chick who loves bud and likes to, you know, bring it to people and educate people. So free to call. I mean, like, I'm blown away.
Well,
I'm blown away, and I can't wait to share this link with my mom.
Have you ever hallucinated on THC?
5 years old. My mom still smokes.
Wait, say that again.
My mom still smokes at 75.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, and she actually has a beautiful greenhouse on a mountain in PA. And she does a little cultivation for her own.
Wow. So one of the questions is, have you ever hallucinated on THC?
I have not hallucinated on THC. I guess I can say I got some visuals. Like I have, but that was only on edibles. So I have said, like, oh, this is why they consider it an hallucinogen, because of the way it affects your vision.
Right.
Slightly. Not like, I know I've experimented with LSD in my late teens and early 20s, and I have eaten psilocybin. So not like that kind of hallucination where, you know, you're kind of seeing things really that aren't there, you know?
Yeah.
But yes, I have experienced some visual impairment, and of course would never drive having done that.
Yeah, that's one thing I covered. I was like, yeah, I should probably not drive.
Yes, I absolutely do not suggest people eat edibles and drive. Like, I can smoke and drive because my tolerance is high, but I can't eat edibles and then drive. That's absolutely out of question.
Now the second question is, how do you feel about giving THC to someone who's pregnant, thinking about getting pregnant or breastfeeding?
Okay, well, I'm just going to speak from personal experience here. I smoked up to the last day with both of my children pregnancies. I experienced no low birth weight or anything like that. I believe cannabis to be a natural medicine, so I didn't really concern myself with, you know, it made me feel better. It took the nausea away, and it did what it was supposed to do. And I didn't smoke a lot, but I did smoke on an as-needed basis.
Mm-hmm.
My son was born at almost 10 pounds, and my daughter was born at almost 7. And they're both very intelligent kids. I breastfed. I did not smoke while 2 weeks of breastfeeding out of the hospital.
Mm.
And that was, I let the cholesterol down. I guess that's like the most important part of breastfeeding. So for 2 weeks, I didn't smoke. I did breastfeed, but then I switched to formula after 2 weeks with each one.
Mm. So sounds reasonable.
That's just my personal experience.
Yeah.
The kids, I don't believe, are, I mean, any more lazy or entitled than anybody else's teenagers today.
Yeah. Fair enough.
And that's the truth.
Fair
I think
enough.
They're just about as lazy and entitled as anybody else's teenagers that were born, you know, 15 years ago. So,
yeah.
But do I think that cannabis affected my pregnancy or my birth or after? No, I don't. And I think that... people have been smoking for a long time Back Indians. I mean, we have Egyptian. We have proof of Egyptians using it as medicine. Did
Right.
they smoke during pregnancy? I just don't. I've just never seen or heard anybody's adverse effects to smoking while pregnant. I've
Right.
never heard anything bad, except for the medical professionals who might say that they might experience low birth weight or, I don't know. I didn't even. I think that was the only thing, and that was really with tobacco more than cannabis. That would be with nicotine that
Yeah.
you would have low birth weight. But my son is 14 years old. He has a size 14 shoe, and he's 6'1" and weighs 260. So
Damn.
it definitely didn't prohibit his growth. His dad was 6'5", so he's going to be a big kid anyway. But
Wow.
he's already 14, and he's already really, really big. I mean, really big. He has to duck in doorways. I live in a bungalow, and he has to duck going up the steps.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, big kid. So I don't think it affected my kids' like weight or their learning, anything like that. They don't have any learning disabilities, like I said, other than being lazy and entitled.
Because I mean, that's just the only reason I asked that question is because the website really made it a point to say that.
Well, as a budtender, I'm not allowed to question the women that come in pregnant, make purchases.
Right.
I'm not allowed to question them. And
Just
I'm
like
not
a
allowed to
bartender, right?
refuse service. So in Pennsylvania, it's, they're maybe not addressing that. I don't
No, it's just like a bartender in New Jersey. You can't refuse
know.
service.
Right. Well, I think in New Jersey, as a bartender, you absolutely have the right to refuse service. So, and I was a bartender in New Jersey, and I don't think I would serve a pregnant woman.
I think there was this push and pull on that. There were some places allowing something like that. There were some places that there was other places that were firing people. And because of New Jersey's work laws, New Jersey wasn't really getting involved too much. So there was a lot of push and pull on that.
Well, I'm glad I never had to refuse service to anyone. I mean, I
Yeah.
would have, but I'm glad I never had to.
Yeah.
Oh,
Yeah, there is a lot of people like
yeah.
Tiffany's in Toms River is a well-known bar restaurant that was serving alcohol to minors, also firing waitresses and waiters for refusing service to pregnant people, which was weird. It was just a whole all-around weird thing. Tiffany's got shut down, and then now there's something else.
Right.
But
Well,
yeah.
that was a good question, though.
No, yeah, I mean, like I just hate how New Jersey just talks to us like we're fucking children. It drives
Well,
me
the more you
nuts.
let the government into your life, the more they're going to come into your life. So, I mean, am I anti-government? I might be a little anti-government because, I definitely march to my own beat. But I'm not going to go tell the government what my business is so that they can then tell me what to do with it. So.
Yeah, I mean, like, I say it a lot of, I say it all the time, pretty much. It's not so much the institutions that operate, it's who's operating it, you know? Like, I feel like the government is like an 18-wheeler, and the people who are driving it are fucking morons, you know? It can do a lot. It can transport a society from nothing to something great.
Well, that's
Or
not
you
going to
can
happen
run
because every
through.
single person in the government at this point is self-serving.
Well, yeah.
And let's face it, they'll never vote to term limit themselves. Why would they do that? That's
No,
not
absolutely.
self-serving, but it is the
No.
best thing for the country.
Yeah, no, that won't happen for a while if it does. I mean, I hope it does. That'd be great, something like that. We're lucky we have it for the places we have it, like the governor and the fucking president, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
I guess we'll take our luck where we have it, right? Yeesh.
Yeah, well, you gotta get people like, I mean, Steve Sweeney. I mean, he was in the Senate for over 20 years. Come on now. It's just you can't
I
have these
know.
people. That's how it becomes self-serving and corrupt.
Yeah, career
And they
politicians,
know it,
yeah.
but they're not going to vote otherwise. That has to be a bill brought up by the people.
Right. You had before social media, you had career politicians. After social media, you now have a new beast called celebrity politicians. So
Right.
now, not only do you have career politicians and celebrity politicians fighting each other, you have the third party, the small triangle on the bottom, the actual politicians.
The progressive Democrats.
I mean, some of them. It's weird because you can label them all, and they would all be in separate echo chambers. But and that's the problem is that we have no unity. If there was unity, all of these people would come together. However, it doesn't really work that way, unfortunately.
Right, because they're all self-serving. Nobody's really into this job anymore to do for the
Right.
people. It's what can I get out of it for myself?
Yeah, of course.
And I actually, somebody had suggested I run for town council, but to me, I thought that, of course, I have an agenda. My agenda is to bring cannabis to Clementon. So I think I'm better serving people doing that
Yeah. You know
than
who?
to be on town council.
Absolutely. I mean, you go where your heart says you go, and that's where you do the best, you know, for your community. I love the Steve Sweeney, because he was replaced by Bill.
A truck driver.
Yeah, Bill Durr, Fred Durr, Fred Durr, right?
He was replaced by that guy. And well, I'm down in that area. I don't know where you're calling from, but I'm down. I'm in Gloucester and Camden County area.
Yeah, I'm in Ocean County, Monmouth County border.
Okay. So, all right. Well, this has been just an awesome, enlightening chat, but we're leaving for the botanical gardens. And I'm hopefully can catch up with you guys on Friday night
Yeah,
for the
absolutely. No,
cannabis chat.
yeah, it's been an absolutely amazing chat. Thank you so much for coming on.
You're welcome. I can't wait to hear it. Can't wait to play it back.
Yes, have a good one now.
Thank you so much,
You're
Anthony. Have a
very
great day.
welcome. You as well.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Wow, that was an interesting conversation, I'd say. I really do enjoy what I do, talking to people about what they do. I try and make the conversation a little longer, but things happen the way they happen. I think I need to get a little bit better as an interviewer. I'm getting a little bit more comfortable behind the microphone. That's becoming obvious, but I think I should focus on the interview part now. I really feel like I could have played that, not played. I feel like I could have steered that conversation better, but it's a work in progress. I'm out here developing my skills. Thank you so much, Wednesday, and her boyfriend, and everyone making this happen. I have tomorrow coming up, and next weekend, and solo content, all this other stuff. I'm thinking about some motivational content. I really feel like I can centralize and compartmentalize a message and give it to a targeted audience. But we'll talk more about that later. Stay lifted, my friends. Cushion coffee.